The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
We like to get a bit geeky now and again on this podcast. And for this episode, I've been talking to Kevin Leach to get some tips on how to record interviews online. Kevin is a former studio manager. He invented IPDTL, which enables you to record broadcast quality audio over the internet at a fraction of the cost of ISDN and in much, much better quality than Skype or FaceTime or an old-fashioned phone line. Also coming up in this episode, we've got news from Stu Clarkson, David Lloyd's Radio Moments, and a guest appearance from my cat. But we'll start with online audio. What are Kevin Leach's five top tips for achieving the best results?
My first tip for IP audio contributions is the choice of microphone, because it's such a crucial element. And, you know, people like to think that these things are magic and that you can use whatever flimsy microphone has been built into your Windows laptop. But of course, you know, that's not the case. Radio studios, when they're built, there's a lot of thought goes into the correct microphone. And a lot of thought should also go into the correct microphone for your interviewee or on a podcast or a radio program or whatever. Now, a lot of laptops have a fan built into them, which is, you know, built into the case. And then, of course, they put the microphone right next to that fan. So no surprise that you then hear the sound of the fan as the prominent sound being picked up by the microphone, which, of course, is crazy. So the first thing to say is generally try not to use the built-in microphone in a laptop. If the laptop doesn't have a fan, then that's not so much of a problem. That leads nicely onto my next tip, which is microphone placement. Now, I've got my microphone, which is a Blue Yeti, which, incidentally, going back to the last tip, is a really nice budget USB microphone, which sounds really nice. I've got it about a hand span away from my mouth currently. To give you an idea for comparison, if I switch to the built-in microphone, which is on my iMac, there you go. You're now hearing me on the iMac built-in microphone, which obviously is a lesser microphone in the first place, but half of the battle is getting it in the right place. So if I come far closer to that microphone and talk across the top of it like this, is it clipping?
It is a little bit, but it does sound suddenly ever so much like a Skype call.
There you go. The reason Skype sounds terrible, or the reason Skype has a bad reputation, is because of the microphones that people choose to use it with. If I just bring down the input level on this microphone, so that should be a more reasonable level now. So you're saying that despite the fact that I'm well positioned above this microphone now, it doesn't sound anything like as nice as the original microphone?
Now you've dropped the level, I have to say, it is better quality than you had it before. But, you know, if I'm doing an interview with somebody and they can't get to my studio and they've only got a microphone in their laptop, I'm pretty stuck then, aren't I?
Well, I mean, I suppose the first thing to say to that is you can add that as a tip, you know, bring the input level down in your computer's audio settings, because often some of those characteristics of Skype calls that you're familiar with are basic audio things. You know, your voice going into it in the first place is too loud and therefore it's going to sound all clippy and distorted. So let me just switch back to the Yeti microphone. The next tip is get the acoustics right. We've chosen the microphone, we've got it in the right position, it's not too close, it's not too far away, we're not popping into the front of the microphone's diaphragm. If you've got all of that right, but you're in a noisy environment or an environment with lots of hard surfaces rather than soft furnishings, then you will find that that affects the audio quality. As it happens, I'm doing an age-old trick of sitting under a duvet, and have been doing since the start of this interview, and it's quite warm under here. So I'm now going to remove the duvet, and you'll suddenly hear the natural sound of my apartment in Manchester, where I work from home. I do still have what's called a reflection filter, which is one of those curved foam things that you can get for about £100 or a bit less. That's currently behind the microphone. So I'm also now removing that from behind the microphone. So all of that acoustic treatment has gone away. Can you tell the difference?
Very much so, Kevin. Absolutely. Now, I've got a reflective filter, and I'm also using a Blue Yeti, so it's for people listening to this to judge, but it does make a very large amount of difference. You know, and people do say, don't they, oh, well, you can do an interview anywhere now on your iPhone. But in terms of making it listenable, making the quality good, I think all the points you've made so far have been useful ones. I know the duvet trick is something that's often given to foreign correspondents, isn't it? Whether they're in a war zone or simply Absolutely. In a noisy hotel, they're told that they should get under the duvet.
That's the first time I came across it, actually, in my time at Bush House, where the World Service used to be. And indeed, it was a foreign correspondent. And they said, hold on a minute, I'll just go and get the duvet. And they sat there in the hotel room with the duvet over their head. And the beauty is, you know, all hotel rooms have a duvet. So if you're wherever you are in the world, you always have acoustic treatment to hand.
Excellent. So I don't know where we are now. Are we at tip four? I think we might be.
I think that was tip three.
Right. Okay. Let's go to tip four.
You're wishing the interview away, Trevor. Tip four is your internet connection. You know, we're working on the assumption that these days, although some people are still using ISDNs or phone calls, and all of these tips so far still apply there. Many audio contributions these days are done using IP, which is, of course, internet protocol. And as the name suggests, it uses the internet. It relies on your internet connection. And if we go back to the example of Skype and it gets a bad press, you know, for many good reasons, often it's not Skype that's the problem. It's the internet connection that's the problem. You know, again, as with microphones, these things aren't magic. You can't just rock up in the middle of nowhere with a flaky 3G signal and expect it to work well. You've got to have, ideally, a wired connection to a good, solid, reliable internet connection. When I say that, it's, you know, that's the kind of thing that most people have in their houses, but it's worth rebooting your router once in a while to make sure that you're getting optimum performance from that. And also making sure that all your wiring is solid, that you've got a good, firm connection between all the cables from, you know, the pole in the street, if you like, into the socket on the back of your computer.
All right, Kevin, I think we've reached tip number five of your five.
Tip number five is your computer's audio settings. Now, we touched on it earlier when I reduced the input level in my computer's audio input settings. You said it sounded a bit like Skype. In reality, that familiar sound was just the sound of the microphone being turned up too loud. So go into your computer's audio input settings, either through system preferences on a Mac or through the control panel on your PC, and bring that audio input level of your audio device, your microphone or your interface, down to a reasonable level. There's also, in their wisdom, the computer OS manufacturers, Apple and Microsoft, have added a feature which is similar to the algorithms that are going on in the background in Skype. And I'm going to demonstrate this to you now. So I'm going to switch to my MacBook. Here I am now speaking to you on the built-in microphone on my MacBook. Now, the first thing to say, of course, is the microphone placement. I'm just talking in a kind of normal looking at my computer position. If I come round to the side of the MacBook now and talk towards the microphone, you'll see that makes a massive difference immediately. I'm then going to enable a setting which is often enabled by default in the operating system sound settings. If I go to the input tab in my Mac, there's a checkbox which says use ambient noise reduction. That's currently not selected. I've now selected it. Can you tell the difference between the two?
Yeah, it's hugely different, Kevin, hugely.
Now, that's something that they've added in theory to reduce the background sounds, but in reality, it causes what was, a fairly reasonable microphone signal to deteriorate considerably. I'm going to turn it off.
Yes, it's very interesting that, because it does reduce the background noise enormously, but then it makes your voice sound much thinner and more like, well, I've said it before, but a bit more Skype-ish, frankly.
Yeah, and I think a term that's often used is underwater. Yeah. I'm going to switch back now to the optimum setting with my Yeti microphone. So here I'm back on the Yeti. I'm going to put the acoustic reflection filter back behind the microphone, and I'm going to grab the duvet and pop it back over my head, like so.
It's a vision of loveliness. So here's another thing I just wanted to pop at you. What do you make of these microphones that you can buy to stick in your iPhone? Like, I think they're called iRigs.
There's two types of iRig. One is the analog version, which just goes into the 3.5mm jack socket on the smartphone. And the other is the Lightning version to go into the iPhone. The Lightning version, I have one here, and it's great because you've got that digital connection between the mic and the phone. The analog version is reasonable, but you're relying there on the fairly cheap audio circuitry which comes with the smartphone, which, of course, let's not forget, is a domestic piece of kit.
OK, so we are having this conversation because I wanted to talk to you about IPDTL, which is the company that you founded. I think one of the very first interviews you did about it when you launched it was on this podcast. Must be nearly 3 years ago now. Extraordinary. How's the business going, and who's coming to you? You know, I keep seeing photographs of people apparently using the system for the BBC, for commercial stations. I mean, it seems as though it's flourishing.
It's gone massive, Trevor. You know, we never could have imagined how it would take off. You know, it really was just a whim that I acted upon a few years ago. And yeah, it's become a worldwide product. Our biggest market is now the United States, where ISDN is already more scarce than it is here in Europe. But, you know, a lot of the telecoms companies in America are turning off ISDN because it's, you know, it is now old technology and it's expensive to maintain, especially in a country like America where you've got so many geographic miles between locations, and that requires a lot of expensive infrastructure, which they just don't want to support anymore. So, yeah, it's become really popular in America, but the world over. And speaking of ISDN, our latest development is we've actually made IPDTL backwards compatible now, where you can dial an ISDN line from IPDTL. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. If you use IPDTL across the internet, then it's a nice cheap alternative. But if for whatever reason you still need to connect to ISDN because the studio you're connecting with hasn't yet modernized, then it also is a nice, easy and cost-effective way to do so.
So here's the question. This is the thing that crops up in my life a lot, making this podcast. So I want to do an interview. Now, because this is a radio podcast, many of the people we talk to are in radio studios. So it's quite easy to do a simulrec where they'll record their end, I record my end, and then we just stitch it together here. If they've got Skype, everybody understands what they do. You know, and again, I record myself in quality and I record them down the Skype line. But if I want to use IPDTL and they don't have it, or it's not enabled on their machine, how can I use it? Because it clearly is giving me much better quality than, you know, I would get through those other methods.
So the easiest way to use IPDTL for a one-off guest is to use the Link Plus feature, which gives you your own dedicated link, a web address. You send that in an email to your guest. They click the link, and in the Chrome web browser, it's got to be in Chrome, and then it just says enter your name. They enter their name, and their name pops up at your end, and in a couple of clicks, you can connect right through to them. They don't need to have an IPDTL subscription. It's in fact, it's how I'm talking to you now. I have your link. You sent me it. I clicked it, and then we could connect up.
Can you hear my cat?
I thought it was a child, but no, yes, I did hear that.
That is Hercules, who's decided to come and join us for this interview. Please sit down over there.
Hercules, your microphone placement is appalling.
Yes, he's a little distant, but there you are. So what does it cost then if I want to join IPDTL, if I've never used it before, but I'm impressed by what I'm hearing on this podcast?
To connect to any existing IPDTL subscriber, it costs you £50 a year, or you can have a day pass for £10. Just go onto the homepage and sign up to a day pass. It gives you 24 hours access for £10. If you want to be able to connect to other people to add the link feature, it costs double the price, so that's £50 plus £50 for the year, so that's £100. And if you want to add the ISDN receiving feature, that's another £100. If you want to add the ISDN dialing feature, then that's another £100, which comes to a total of £300 for the year.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us and giving us your tips, Kevin. It's really a very good system. I do recommend it. I sound like one of those American podcasters now saying support for this podcast was provided by IPDTL. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck, Kevin, and we'll see you soon.
Trevor, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Kevin Leach is the founding director of InQuality. You can read more of his five top tips for recording online audio at IPDTL.com. Time for this week's radio news now. Stuart Clarkson's on the line. And Stu, I think we've got the Arqiva nominations.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Trevor. Hot off the press as we record this, Sarah Champion and Rob Beckett have just announced the nominees. And Global and Bauer dominate the shortlists. Bauer has 37 nominations, Global 35. They're all online, so I won't read them all out for you here. But the nominees for the National Commercial Station of the Year are Absolute Radio, Classic FM, Jazz FM, LBC and Planet Rock. The next size of station down is between four Bauer stations, Clyde 1, 4th 1, Hallam and Metro, as well as 106 Jack FM Oxfordshire. And the smaller stations fighting out to be named the best are The Bay, 103.1 Central FM, MFR, Radio Borders and Original 106. In the presenter categories, presenter of the year under 2 million TSA, Dave Connor and Vanessa Motion from Kingdom FM, Rock FM's Jordan North, Capital South Wales, Matt Polly and Geraint, Stephen Caron from Metro and Trevor and Caroline from 106 Jack FM Oxfordshire. And the presenter award for stations over 2 million, Christine O'Connell and Frank Skinner, both from Absolute, Boogie and Dingo from the Bauer City Network, Classic FM's John Suchet and Ian Dale from LBC Drive Time. And finally, the National Breakfast Show Award. That's between Classic FM, Capital Northwest with Rob Ellis, The OC on Absolute Radio, Capital Breakfast with Bodge, Matt and Scarlett in the Northeast, and Kiss Breakfast with Ricky Melvin and Charlie. No nominations for Chris Moyles then in his first year back in commercial radio. Maybe he wasn't entered though, we don't know for sure. Radio X's launch though does get shortlisted in the Marketing Award category. And remember, these are the Radio Centre Awards, so no UKRD or Wireless Group stations, as they haven't entered as far as we know. You can see the full list of nominees at radiotoday.co.uk. Of course, we'll be there for the awards ceremony hosted by John Holmes from Talk Radio on the 17th of May at the Roundhouse in Camden. And you can hear live coverage of that on the 17th of May on In Radio or by following the action at radiotodaylive.com. Some of the stories this week: former Radio City Wish and Rock breakfast presenter Kev Seed is going back on air after a break. He's on the weekend lineup on community station Wirral Radio, which is also on DAB across parts of North Wales, Cheshire and Merseyside. Yorkshire Coast Radio has got a new content manager. Matthew Pells takes over programming responsibilities from Chris Sigsworth. Chris has been at the station since launch and been MD and PC for the last 18 years. He stays on though as the managing director. LBC had a complaint to Ofcom about the use of RDS traffic announcement flags. Ofcom was told that the station had been raising them for travel bulletins, lowering them and then raising them again for the adverts that followed. Global said it was unintentional and because of a technical issue which has now been fixed. So Ofcom said it wasn't going to uphold the complaint. Another community station is closing down. Westwold's Radio in Pocklington in East Yorkshire. It's only been on the air for 5 months. It says the station is closing because of financial reasons. And the kids are taking over BBC Radio Sheffield's breakfast show every Friday morning. Children from Catcliffe Primary School's radio station in Rotherham will introduce their weekly top five. It all started after the kids went on a studio tour at the BBC local station and one said he wanted to be the next Toby Foster. Don't we all? Here's Toby.
The kids from Catcliffe first came to see us before Christmas and they were really interested in what we did at the radio station. More so than the other kids have been to look around, and we showed them round. Had a great day with them. Then they told us about their radio station. So we came down here to the school. It's an amazing setup. We listen to what they produce every week. And we're blown away by it. So much so that we decided we want it on our station. We decided to nick what they're doing. So this is them taking over BBC Radio Sheffield. And we're getting together every week and listening to what's gone off at their school. I'm really excited about it.
Sounds like it's worth a listen. That's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stu. David Lloyd after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
So, happy birthday this week to what was the final station in the first layer of UK commercial radio.
Beacon Radio 303 will be going on the air shortly.
The music on Beacon is going to cover a much wider spread than I think people have been accustomed to on radio generally, in that we are going to split our music into four categories: singles, albums, super gold, or oldies, and breakers. The singles will, to a large extent, reflect national single sales, while at the same time also show the influence of the people who work for Beacon. The albums will be much along the same line. The oldies will obviously reflect the tastes that all of us have had over the years, from 1956 through until about 6 months ago.
Oh, it's great to see a band like Gallagher and Lyle have been trying for so long, finally making the UK charts, and that's their current single release, I Want to Stay With You. It's 12 minutes past six. Good morning, this is Mike Baker on Beacon 303, and we'll check the weather this morning at 6.15.
Actually, I don't think we can talk about Beacon weather without playing this.
Here comes the weatherman.
Will the temperature be low?
Trying to get that foot out of bed at this time of the morning.
The early days of Beacon Radio for Wolverhampton and the Black Country this week in 1976. And by this stage, 40 years ago, as the politicians started to work out whether commercial radio was a good idea after all, only half the population was served. The second tranche of stations began this week 34 years ago.
There it is. That is called I Hear You Now from John and Vangelis. The new sound for the capital, CBC 221 metres of the medium wave band. And of course, that is the record that we've started off with. So no doubt in 10 years' time now, we'll be saying, what record did we start off with?
Sadly, I don't think anyone did ask that question. CBC in Cardiff lasted just 5 years. It launched this week in 1980, the first of the seven extra new commercial radio stations authorised by the new Tory Home Secretary. It became Red Dragon and is now Heart. There was controversy this week 2 years ago.
Which means that we've got a brand new entry at number two. To explain more, here's Newsbeat's music reporter, Sinead Garvan.
This. An online campaign began in 2007 to try to get this song, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, to number one in the charts the week Lady Thatcher died.
Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
Radio 1 controller Ben Cooper made the decision not to play the track in full on the chart show. Search Newsbeat to read his reasons why.
Recollections of this week in 2013. Controversy too this week in 1970 when the pirate radio station Radio North Sea International RNI was jammed under orders from the government.
No free Western country has ever jammed a free broadcasting station, even in times of war. Radio North Sea trusts that the legal right we have to broadcast without interference to you will soon be restored. Radio North Sea International intends to remain on the air.
RNI being jammed this week in 1970. In retaliation, the Association of Pirate Stations threatened to jam Tony Blackburn on the BBC.
And we're just seconds ahead on the brand new Fun 30.
Radio 4 began a chatty Saturday morning programme this week in 1998. It featured a presenter who perhaps never expected to appear on the home service.
It sounds as though there's a story, and how much of herself is she?
Her leg, basically. It's called something or other's lick. It's quite disgusting.
So, I mean, does she, sounds really almost more interesting than your daughter's. I don't wish to be insulting to them. But
the first edition of the wonderful Home Truths on Radio 4 with John Peel 18 years ago. 1995 now, and unexpectedly back then, a national commercial station was allowed to launch a local London FM outlet.
Think of the Earth as a person who has just turned 46 years of age. The first signs of life don't flower until age 42. Just 12 months ago, dinosaurs burst in and out of existence. 20 seconds ago, reached out for global communication. And 10 seconds ago, the electric guitar was born.
Virgin Radio began on 105.8 in London this week, 21 years ago. And finally this week in 1972, a new Radio 4 comedy series began.
Many of our listeners are ignorant of the true meanings of apparently similar terms. For example, it's quite astonishing how many have no knowledge of the difference between the terms enrapture and enamour. Well, listen up, because you learn something. You use enrapture to express enchantment and delight, whereas you use enamour to bang nails in.
I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. The antidote to panel games began on Radio 4 this week in 1972, and it's still on air. So, with the BBC Radiophonic Workshop opening its doors 58 years ago, Isle of Wight Radio launching 26 years ago,
reflecting your life, your worries, and your joys.
And CFM making its debut in Carlisle 23 years ago.
We've just had people just ring up saying they love the music, they love the station, they can't wait to hear more.
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments. Cheers, David. Other credits this week: Stu Clarkson for the news, researcher Hayley Hayes, Kevin Leach for his top tips, and Hercules Dan for his noises off. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.